Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, council officers, committee members. We'll make a start on today's planning committee meeting of the 26th of September 2023. I'll just start off with some housekeeping rules, please, if we may. If I could remind everybody to switch off their mobile phones. We're not expecting any live fire drills, but should we hear the fire alarm go, we'll proceed back out the way we came in, out onto the main car park, out to the right. A polite notice, please, to everybody not to call out when individuals are speaking, as it prevents others from hearing the debate. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes to speak, and there'll be a live clock on the back of the wall. Just start by way of an introduction to the Planning Committee. Myself, Councillor Arshad Afsar, is the Chairman. To the right of me, we have Planning Manager Naomi Perry. Planning Officer to the right, Barbara Toy. To the left of me, we've got Legal Representative Sherry Grant. And Democratic Services Officers Andrea Davis and Daniel Corquette. And if I can ask the committee members from my right to just give a brief introduction on your name, please. Yeah.
Councillor Monica Holton.
Good afternoon, Councillor Michael Slater.
Councillor Croft.
Councillor Chris Medley.
Councillor Colin Whittaker.
Thank you. We'll start with item agenda one. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Chair, we have Mr. Legg and Councillor Hussain.
Thank you. Does any member have a declaration of interest that need to disclose? Could I ask that members accept the minutes from the last meeting held on 30th of August 2023? Could I have a proposer, please? Councillor Whittaker. Could I have a seconder? Councillor Jones. Could I see a show of hands, all those in favour, please? Any against? Any abstentions? Do we have any urgent business to be brought to the committee's attention? No urgent business, thank you. Right, we'll move into item agenda 5, the applications for planning permission, to consider the applications. So we'll start with the first application, planning application reference number 2021-01020, for the outline application for the erection of up to 40 affordable dwellings, 28 first homes and 12 affordable rented, including details of access, revised description, land adjacent to 374A Tutbury Road, Burton-on-Trent. Could I ask the officers to present the case? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Application P2021-01020, land adjacent to 374A Tutbury Road, Burton. The application is an outline proposal for the erection of up to 40 affordable dwellings, of which 28 would be first homes and 12 would be affordable rented properties, including details of access. Just to point out that the application was originally for the erection of up to 46 dwellings, but was revised through the application process. Here on the screen, you'd be able to see the site outlined in black, and we've got the 374A Tutbury Road just here. The green area is a strategic green gap, and the red hatch line is a settlement boundary. On our site visit this morning, we visited the site, went onto the site itself, and we also travelled down Long Hedge Lane. So just to point that out to members. Again, just the same shot, just zoomed in a bit more. Here we've got just the wider surrounding area. Bus stops are further down Tutbury Road here, closer to Hare Hedge Lane. And just to point out that this area here is a sustainable urban extension that's got a resolution to permit following a planning committee earlier this year. And the site lies entirely within Outwood's parish. Here's got an aerial view of the site. Just to point out, the hedges that surround the site, woodland to the northwest, and again, various properties with 374A here. Just some photos of the site and surrounding area. So this is the view looking south towards number 11 Tutbury Road. And members this morning, we walked up and down this footway and stood at various points, especially where the access is proposed. From the other side of the road, looking towards 374A Tutbury Road, with the proposed access in approximately this location. Again, just other views from the site, looking north towards number 9 and 10, and further out, looking north from the site. And you can see there is quite a well-established high hedge surrounding the site, and with a few gaps. Here we're going on to the site itself, and looking across, you can see 374A Tutbury Road. The site at this stage is quite flat, and then it does go upwards quite steeply, as you can see from this photo. And then looking into the site itself. So this morning we actually walked to the top of the site. Here we've got an illustrative layout. The application is an outline, so it's only illustrative only, but it does show that 40 dwellings can be accommodated on the site. And we've also got retention of the hedging around the site, various trees, and the access arrangement here with a new footpath into the site itself. Turning to the access arrangements now, we've got 374A Tutbury Road here with a new access, which would be a priority T junction to the site in this location, with a new footway entering into the site as well. As part of the highway works, it's proposed that the 30 mile an hour speed restriction would be moved past the site. This morning we saw the three speed limit signs, so we saw the 50, the 40, and then going into the 30 further down Tutbury Road. In terms of the housing mix, this was asked this morning. So there's first homes and affordable housing on the site, and a mixture there that you can see before you, a mix from one to four bedroom properties. Turning to the report itself, there's been consultation on the application with a list of responses there that you can see. So Rolston Parish Council, they support the hedge retention and moving of the 30 mile an hour zone. Outwards Parish Council objects to the proposal based on the site not being within the settlement boundary. There is adequate supply of housing in the area. There isn't a lack of affordable housing. The site does not comply with a neighbourhood plan. Concerns in relation to highway safety, a lack of facilities on the site. There is an objection. County Council Highways, no objection subject to conditions securing the off-site highway works, moving of the speed limit and monitoring to be set out in Section 106 agreement. County Council Education, no objection subject to conditions and Section 106. The County Flood Risk Team, no objection subject to conditions which are set out in the report. Archaeology Team, no objection. And the Environment Agency, no comment on the application. Severn Trent Water, no objection subject to condition in relation to drainage. National Forest, no objection subject to the Section 106, including contribution to National Forest planting. the police liaison officer, no objection, but guidance has been provided. Natural England, no objection, that's specifically in relation to the loss of agricultural land. The Newt officer, no objection, subject to conditions set out in the report. The Integrated Care Board, no objection, subject to Section 106 in terms of healthcare provision in the wider locality. Forestry Commission, no comment. Rolleston Civic Trust, objection due to the encroachment to the Greenbelt and contrary to Rolleston Neighbourhood Plan. I've just reiterated my previous point that none of the site lies within Rolleston Parish, so the Neighbourhood Plan in that instance isn't relevant. Turning to internal consultees, environmental health, no objection, subject to conditions in relation to noise and land contamination. Housing strategy team, no objection, subject to securing the affordable housing in perpetuity. Open spaces team, no objection. They have requested that on-site play area is provided, and that will be dealt with at a reserve matter stage. Waste team, no objection, subject to securing contribution towards bins in the Section 106 agreement. The tree officer, no objection, subject to conditions in relation to the retention of certain trees and protection of those during development. Previous ward councillor, object to this site as it's not considered a viable development site. It's outside the settlement boundary. There is sufficient land within the settlement boundary to deliver housing. There's a lack of services and facilities, no pedestrian links, and the application would undermine the established greenfield boundary between Lodge Hill and outwards. Former ward councillor, Councillor Gaskin, object on the basis that the site is outside the settlement boundary, would open the door for other applications. The access is on a dangerous bend on Tutbury Road in an area with significant housing already permitted. And Kate Knifton MP, support the residents' comments and object to the application on the basis that the land is outside of the settlement boundary. Turning to neighbour comments, we've had a total of 36 letters of objection, with a total of 20 received since the committee report was published last week. A summary of the relevant planning objections are that the site is outside the settlement boundary, there is no shortfall of affordable housing, the survey which is discussed in the committee report demonstrates that 67% of residents don't consider housing is needed. The proposal does not comply with the local plan, in particular policies SP18 and policies RD3, RD1 and LR4 of the Outwards Neighbourhood Plan. Concerns in relation to the loss of agricultural land. Comments in relation to the five-year land supply, that the council is able to demonstrate a five-year land supply and therefore the site should not be granted permission. Concerns in relation to the site being 100% affordable housing site. Visual impacts due to the topography of the site, the lack of a buffer between existing and proposed properties, that the development would not be in keeping with the character of development, which is ribbon development in this part of Burton. Concerns in relation to overlooking of existing properties, concerns in relation to poor vision at the entrance, and therefore concerns in relation to highway safety. And many have referenced the high number of accidents on Tutbury Road. Concerns in relation to the cumulative impact of the highway network, and concerns also raised in relation to the displacement of wildlife in the impact on the existing green corridor and habitat that provides. Concerns in relation to flooding and surface flooding, the lack of local amenities to serve the residents, and concerns in relation to noise and light pollution impacts. And so in determining this application, or coming to a recommendation, the policies that have been used are the National Planning Policy Framework, which has been amended since the local plan was adopted, the local plan, the design guide, parking SPD, and the Outwards Neighbourhood Plan. The report before you sets out other key material considerations that are relevant to the determination of this application, in particular paragraph 72 of the MPPPF, which, as I said, was amended since the local plan was adopted, says that local authorities should support the development of entry-level exception sites suitable for first-time buyers or those looking to rent their first homes, unless the need for such homes is already being met within the local authority's area. These sites should be on land which is not already allocated for housing and should comprise of entry-level homes that offer one or more type of affordable housing, and that the site is adjacent to existing settlements, proportionate in size to that settlement, and not compromise the protection given to areas or assets of particular importance. And another material consideration relevant for the determination of this application is an appeal decision at Aviation Lane, Burton, where the inspector concluded that providing a 100% affordable housing scheme was a material consideration which would outweigh the conflict with the development plan in that instance. So turning to the principle, the report acknowledges that the proposal is contrary to the development plan. However, material considerations of the NPPF and the appeal reference suggests that significant weight should be given to the provision of affordable housing in this instance, and therefore the balance should be that the principle is acceptable. In terms of design and impact on the character of the area, the application is outlined only with only an indicative layout provided. However, it is considered that a scheme could be achieved which would reduce its impact on the character of the area. In terms of the impact on best and versatile agricultural land, the dense landscaping buffer and the independent landscape assessment all demonstrate that the impact can be mitigated. In terms of amenity of those existing residents and new residents, as the application is outlined, a scheme has not been assessed on that basis at this stage, but it is considered that a suitable scheme could be designed. The Environmental Health Team have recommended conditions in relation to noise and contamination. And you'll see that there is a condition in relation to open space and play area being provided on the site. Turning to highway matters, the site involves the change in speed limit from a 30 through to a 40 to a 50, basically extending that 30 mile an hour limit beyond the site access. The proposal also involves the priority T junction, footway provision, and no objections from the County Council Highways have been received, subject to detailed access solution being secured and legal agreement securing the off-site highway works and monitoring. A turn to the historic environment, there are no nearby listed buildings or conservation areas that would have an impact, and there is low potential for surviving archaeological remains on the site. Flood risk and drainage, the site is in flood risk 1, which is the lowest area of flooding. All statutory consultees have raised no objection, subject to conditions. Turning to biodiversity for the site, the proposal retains many important features across the site, ensuring that habitat for species is retained. Conditions are proposed to ensure net gain is achieved across the site, and recommendations of the ecological impact assessment are provided. There are no protected woodlands and no ancient woodland affected. Many trees are to be retained with conditions ensuring their protection. In terms of any new tree planting, the National Forest don't consider that the area would be suitable for all woodland planting across the site and have requested a financial contribution to deliver woodland planting elsewhere. Turning to planning obligations, various statutory consultees have requested contributions to mitigate the impact of the development. In terms of affordable housing, an obligation is sought to secure the provision of affordable housing in perpetuity. The County Council Education Team have requested a sum just under £180,000 to go towards secondary and sixth form provision. The ICB have requested a contribution of £26,000 to go towards Carlton Street, Dove River and or the Tutbury practice to provide health provision for the new residents. The County Council Highways have requested that the Section 186 refers to the junction improvements and moving of the speed limit and monitoring. And our waste team have requested £90 per property. National Forest, for an off-site contribution, it would be the equivalent of 0.2 hectares at a cost of £7,000. Turning to the conclusions, there is conflict with SP8 and SP18 of the local plan. However, the proposal complies with the National Planning Policy Framework, in particular paragraph 72, which I read out earlier, which is a material consideration. The proposal would provide affordable housing and affordable home ownership, and this is given significant weight in coming to a recommendation before you today. The recommendation, therefore, is to approve with conditions as per the report. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a number of speakers on this item. If I can call you out one by one, please, and you'll have 3 minutes to speak. The clock will start when you start speaking. If I could start with Councillor Gaskin to come forward, please. Thank you. Okay. This application, it comes off the back of a previous application for 600 houses, which it was included in that area, and this was refused. As it said, it is outside the planning border set out in the council plan and does not comply with the Outwoods neighbourhood plan. The access to the site, of course, is on a very dangerous bend, which we have already been highlighted. And although moving the speed limits, when people get out into the areas where they see quite a wide road with wide verges, scant regard is given to these signs. And I will come on to the amount of accidents that have happened in that area over the past few years. We must keep the identity of our villages, of course, as well. We want to keep, make sure that our Tutbury is kept separate, away from the Outwoods and Ralston areas, to keep that distinct. And this, of course, moves them closer together, as you are aware, as there has been a recent development in Tutbury coming towards Burton. This development introduces high-density housing in a raised position, and that actually destroys any previous privacy to the adjoining residents. And it doesn't have the boundary which is required in the Outwoods neighbourhood plan. It also provides no public facilities. There's no shops, no health access on the site. There's nothing within miles of it, no takeaway, no nothing. Everybody on that particular site would have to drive for anything they needed, should they have cars, of course, in affordable housing. The evidence being used to justify the proposal is flimsy. Only 8 respondents have required affordable housing. This is easily catered for within the development currently under construction. The survey used, as has been said, 67% of respondents said no further housing is needed outside this allocation. We do have 2 very large planning sites going ahead in the area, 500 houses opposite. There was a few years ago now, around 30 just behind the Beacon pub there, and there is of course 900 on Beam Hill. Outwards is also the area at Reservoir Road, and there's also 200 or more houses there. So if you see the way it's being impacted, it is terrible. There's also 300 of those are affordable homes. So the shortfall of affordable housing in and around Burton is therefore already met in this area. The accidents that I spoke about, there was a front wall demolished and rebuilt twice, lamp standards damaged beyond repair, another car demolished a portion of hedge, 2 accidents across the road, 1 including 2 deaths, unfortunately, when a minibus and a HGV lorry collided. To make the access to that, you'll have to move the flowers that they place on where these people passed away. They will have to be moved to make the gateway. So there was also an accident between a fire engine and an ambulance in that area. Just sum up, please, so we finished your time. Thank you.
Well, I did think I had a bit longer, but there we are.
I will sum up then. Taking all these matters into account, and for saying that this is a recommendation, it is only a recommendation, it is up to you, councillors, to make this decision. And taking it all into account, I cannot see it being right to pass this, and I wouldn't like to have it on my hands, an application like this in such an area as dangerous as this. I therefore urge the councillors of the Planning Committee
to refuse the application.
Thank you. We could have our second speaker, please, Parish Councillor John Anderson, to come forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. I've got a different system since last time. I'd have to just press the button and go. Oh, is it? Oh, you must have a long arm. Okay, Outwood's Parish Council strongly object to this planning application on the following grounds. The development is outside of the development boundary and is not included in the local plan, nor is it included in Outwood's neighbourhood development plan. It is in conflict with local plan policies SP4 and SP8, and if passed, will set a precedent. According to MPPF paragraph 12, this application should be refused unless other material considerations indicate otherwise. ESBC have a robust land supply in excess of 5 years. The site is not included in that calculation. Affordable homes should always be built near to employment and on brownfield sites where possible with good public transport. GPs and dentists have no capacity to accept new patients, and most services at the University Hospital of Derby and Burton have long waiting lists. This proposal fails to address shortages in community facilities described in Outwood's Neighbourhood Plan LR2 and CF3. Buffer zones between new and existing housing are inadequate. They should be 20 metres in width and fenced off to make good wildlife corridors and habitat. Despite what you've been told, local schools are already oversubscribed. The water runoff from this development will leave the site towards Ralston and add to the existing flood issues. The ecological report identifies impacts to existing hedgerows, the damp area of the site, and to wildlife commuting through the site through increased noise and light disturbance. Add to this the extra human activity. The types of amphibians and snakes living in the damp area should be identified. Skylarks are a red list species present throughout the year. Barn owls and tawny owls are regularly seen. The barn owl is on Schedule 1 of the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981. They are fully protected throughout the UK. An unlimited fine and or a custodial sentence apply to offences against barn owls. Trees with hollows on site could be possible nest sites. A year-long survey should take place before any destruction can even be considered. The area's landscape is defined in the ESBC Landscape Character SPD as of being of moderate quality and in need of landscape enhancement. We do not consider the building of dwellings to be landscape enhancement. Outwood's Parish Council see no alternative to this application being refused planning permission today. And I'd like to just add to what Councillor Gaskin said, that the results of today's decision is completely down on councillors' heads. The access is on an awful bend where accidents have taken place before, as this has already been mentioned, so let's not add to this issue. If councillors wish this to be on the head, then vote for this application. If you want to sleep tonight with a clear conscience, then please reject the application. Thank you all.
Thank you. If I can have come forward Nikki Bayliss, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm not a councillor but a resident right behind the proposed development and would like to give a personal perspective. Affordable social and rental houses have already been started and planned in our local area. Beam Hill Heights, 900 houses, and off the A511 behind St Modred School, a further 500. 1,400 homes, not yet built, but planned. How many residents will that be? Where will the children go to school? Where are the doctors, dentists and public services? Currently all provisions are oversubscribed. And that was in the 10-year neighbourhood plan. And no one really knows how is this yet to affect our community. And I would invite the panel to stand at the roundabout at the bottom of Beam Hill Road and at Castle Park Co-op and past my house at school run times, 10 times a week, traffic at a standstill. And yet what is the answer? Is the answer really to permit the building of yet another 40 homes on yet another greenfield site in the same area? Another 80 cars exiting on a site on a blind bend where speed cameras have been put due to the fatalities on the road. Is it the answer? The site in the application is farmed and houses much wildlife, but I fear it is not a consideration, and we only have to look at the willful destruction by the building company that ripped up the National Forest trees at Beam Hill Rights. They operated a policy of better to ask forgiveness than permission. And as I understand it, no action has been taken. If a 20-metre boundary is granted for houses, it will look directly into the bedroom of residents due to the gradient of the hill. And the field has a tendency to flood in winter in our gardens and spring. And water has to go somewhere, and I fear our houses may flood. And I'd like to cite the Kickling Greaves Lane saga in 2020, where over 20 residents had to be rehomed due to flooding. Prior to that, house building in that area, it had never occurred. This has been rectified somewhat, I have been assured by a councillor, but it is encouraging flooding on Forage Edge Way. Now, why would we encourage the potential flooding of our community in this climate change world? Does affordable housing, a mile from any shop, no available school places and undersubscribed medical service seem a good idea? This is not in the 10-year plan. For goodness sake, please let the local community and wildlife come to terms with what is already planned. Let us see what the effect of over 3,000 cars will be on the local infrastructure and increased emissions. And I would imagine when the 10-year plan is done, there will be another 5,000 people in the community. Let us see the demise of foxes, rabbits, owls, bats and other wildlife. And perhaps then, in 10 years, a further loss of wildlife and habitat, increase in pollution and potential flooding will be more palatable. The houses proposed are of a poor design, and they're out-of-date technology for their power supplies. The whole proposal looks to the past and not the future. The future for our community should be greener, safer, kinder, and this proposal detracts from all of these. Worthy ambitions for good town planning. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could ask for David Daly to come forward, please.
Thank you. I feel like I'm going to repeat basically everything that's been said, so apologies for that. I live at 374A Tupperby Road, and I'm speaking on behalf of all my residents, all my local residents. Some have know nothing about the application because they're elderly. This application should be refused for the following reasons. All the local schools, high school, junior and primary, are oversubscribed, as are the doctors, as you've already heard. On the highways issues, the entrance to development is a blind bend where numerous accidents have occurred outside my house. Two fatalities were in 2015. Speed limits do not slow cars down. They still speed round. We have it all the time, overtaking vehicles as we turn into our drive. The applicant's own consultation states that queuing traffic is not expected until 2026. This happens now, twice a day, even before the 500 houses are built at Glenville Farm and the 1,000 houses at Beam Hill Heights. The fumes from the queuing traffic is also detrimental to our health, obviously. Our gardens flood every time we have heavy rain. This will only get worse due to the risk of runoff from the drives and the roofs. This water ends up in the River Dove. The River Dove already has flooding problems, as has already been mentioned. This will only get worse. The topography of the land, as you've seen this morning, is of a large hill, so the new properties, ground floors, rooms and gardens will look directly into our bedrooms. These properties will create shadow and loss of light to the existing properties, which may cause depression, mental health issues for the older residents. On the conservation, a badger set is at the top of the development and is protected by the 1992 Protection of Badgers Act. This will obviously be disturbed. I've been a farm worker in Burton for over 30 years. This is the only field I know of that grows organic food. As such, a wide variety of flora and fauna, including mice, voles, and the such like, and this is why we see barn owls, kestrels, and buzzards hunting in this field. The wet area that's been noted, there's no mention of a survey looking for greater crested newts, which are also protected by law. Planning policy, this development would be in our national forest. There's no trees going to be planted there, which has been mentioned, because the ground is so heavy clay, the trees won't grow, which obviously increases the risk of flood. It's outside the settlement boundary, as already been stated, and so it's classed as open countryside. It's not within the East Borough Council local plan, nor is it in the Outwoods Neighbourhood Development Plan. East Hampshire Borough Council has a robust supply of land for houses in excess of 5 years. At the last consultation, which this development was not included in, it stated that additional housing in the Outwood and Stretton area should be ruled out due to the unacceptable pressure on existing infrastructure with no scope to increase capacity. This development is not in keeping with the local street scene and would dominate the area. If this horrendous development is passed, it will set a precedent and would undermine the local plan. I would like you to consider all of these facts and refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could ask Chris Timothy to come forward, please.
Chairman and members of the committee, good afternoon. I'd like to respond to some of the comments that have been made. The application site has a safe and convenient vehicular access, which has come forward following proposals that have been drafted after surveys undertaken by the applicants, highway consultants, in full negotiation with the Highways Authority, and you will note that there is no objection to this proposal from Staffordshire Highways. The point of access and has been chosen to maximise the visibility displays and minimise the loss of hedgerow. There are no technical objections, as you will see from your report, from any statutory consultee to this application. That includes the drainage authorities, namely Environment Agency and the lead local flood authority. The applicant will enter into a Section 106 agreement to secure improvements to local infrastructure. This will include not only the reduction of the speed limit in front of the site and the necessary travel plan monitoring, but it will secure contributions to education, healthcare and refuse recycling, as well as the National Forest planting to which Mrs. Perry referred you to. This proposal provides for 100% affordable housing, 28 first homes and 12 homes for affordable rent. First homes were introduced by paragraph 72 of the National Planning Framework in 2019. It postdates the adoption of your local plan. The extent to which there is any conflict with your local plan is explained by the simple fact that the local plan did not anticipate the government bringing forward the First Homes initiative. The First Home, this proposal is entirely consistent with paragraph 72 of the framework. The proposal will assist in meeting a shortfall of affordable housing in the borough. This was identified in the Aviation Lane appeal decision to which Mr. Perry's drawn your attention. That shortfall is in spite of the fact of the significant allocations that have been made in the vicinity of the site. This scheme will boost the early delivery of entry-level homes in the area. It will assist first-time buyers to access affordable accommodation. The applicants will be familiar to you. You will have visited some of the sites that they've already undertaken. They have a track record of providing affordable housing in this borough. The proposal will thus contribute towards meeting the affordable housing needs of East Staffordshire. The application site is in a sustainable location, well related to services and facilities, including public transport. It will facilitate the use of sustainable modes of transport. The proposal is therefore consistent with local plan policies SP8 and SP18. The extent of any conflict is explained, as I've said, by the fact that the local plan and the neighbourhood plan predate the paragraph 72. It will secure a high quality development of the site. It has a safe and convenient means of access, and it will deliver and contribute towards the provision of affordable housing needs of the Staffordshire Borough. In these circumstances, I ask you to grant planning permission subject to conditions and the Section 106 agreement recommended to you by your officers. Thank you.
Right, thank you there. We have no more public speakers, so I'll open the floor up to the committee members to debate. Do we have any speakers on the item?
Yes.
Councillor Jones.
But it seems, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that there are two primary issues here, because we're just looking at it is on. Well, at least it's got red lights on there. Because it's an outline application, we're not looking at any details of design or anything else at all. We're looking at basically the access and the principle of the fact that it's outside the settlement boundary. As far as I can see, those are the only two issues we are to discuss here at the moment today. Is that right? Yeah. Yes. The access, I just heard the agent say it's got a very safe access. I'm a bit staggered at that, really, because we were out there today, and while it's a pretty busy road, the access looked to me like it was on quite a stiff bend either way. There was no leeway either side for to be able to see very much coming along, and I think that's quite a concern. I'm not sure that why Staffordshire County Council Highways have not made any objections to this, and I do have to question whether they've actually been out to have a look. I understand that they always go out and visit sites before they give an opinion, but I'm just a bit concerned about that, and I do wonder if actually within the site itself there's any better access for the site, and maybe we can have a look at that a bit later on. And the other issue is it's outside the settlement boundary, and for me that does set quite a significant precedent. I know that you're explaining it away because of the change in the framework and everything, but we're always dealing, or often dealing, with applications that are outside the settlement boundary, and that gives people quite a lot of comfort that there is a designed area within their areas that they live that is going to be developed or can possibly be developed. And once we start doing these settlement outside the settlement boundary, then I think we do lose all our basic support for the houses that we are doing, and the fact that people have agreed that they'll be accept houses within their settlement boundary. So that, those are my real concerns with the application. Thank you.
Councillor Slater.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, more about the settlement boundary. So I understand what Councillor Gaskin told us, that the previous application for a 600 house development was refused. If we approve this development, are we more likely to be presented with another one at some point in the future to extend the thing even more? Or is the fact it's only 40 hours is a reason why it's recommended at this stage? That's the question I wonder.
Oh, sorry, I'll just clarify something there, actually. Sorry, I haven't got it on the plan, but you can just see the application Councillor Gaskin was referring to is kind of in this triangle here. It hasn't actually been refused. It's still a live planning application.
It's not refused?
It's not been refused, no. Right. It's still a live planning application.
I was thinking, if we approve this one, is it like Mission Creek? Do we get more and more and more? But if that's been refused, then that's been refused. Thank you. Can I ask more questions? Thank you. I noticed there's nothing in the plans I've seen about any kind of solar panels or alternative heating sources on this application. Is that correct? There's nothing? I can't see anything.
No, there's nothing. No.
And there was no there's no permeable driveways. There's no sustainable earning drainage pond. We've already established that there's no drainage pond on this application.
I think just to clarify that we are looking, you know, they'll come back at reserve matters stage.
Right.
Looking at the principle of development here and its access,
isn't
it? Yeah.
In that case, then, thank you. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Chairman, I did ask if we knew if the County Council had been out to see the site, and I didn't get a response to that question.
Oh, sorry, I can't speak on their behalf, but I understand they do visit every site.
You do think they came to have a look at this site and the access for the site? Yeah,
but obviously they're not here. So.
No, they're obviously not here. But I just wondered if they'd actually contacted you.
No, sorry, you can't make a point of an order.
Can you shut him up?
Yeah. As I explained before, please, you've had your time to speak. It's now the committee members' turn. We'll debate on the committee members.
Just to clarify, last month we did have the officer from the highways here who confirmed that every site is visited, but on this particular one, I can't say.
I think I'm just going to clarify.
But their policy is that they do visit them.
Yeah, the policy is, but we couldn't tell you definitively.
No, that's okay. I just wondered if they'd actually made contact with the planning officers when they came to visit the site or anything, but obviously not. Okay, thank you.
Do we have any more speakers? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a loss with this one, really. It's seems that we've got the two issues on the table. Myself, I can't believe there hasn't been a highways issue with that access, because I think that is horrendous, that access, on top of everything else in the area. And if that could be readdressed, it might give me some comfort on that. But the main issue is the cumulative effect of all this building going on, and also linked with outside the settlement boundary, which is there for a purpose. That settlement boundary is there to protect the villages and to give a definite border to that. And if we start spreading out, and I don't think, in my own mind, I don't think the affordable homes and what we've got on the table is justification to take away valuable farmland in such a situation. And I'm really struggling to come to terms with the moral aspect in this situation. I think the developers are justifying the means to develop this site. I like to see a mixed site. I don't like a one site of one or the other. I think a mixed site is better for the community and everything. And I'm not, at this stage, I'm not happy with what's in front of me, and I cannot see enough justification to build on this site.
Councillor Huckabee.
Yeah, to the officer, really. With the report, it says that it's within walking distance of shops. Could you explain where the shops are?
So they are further down Tutbury Road. And then in time, there will be a centre here on Harehead Lane. So, yeah, can't show you on this plan. Further down Tutbury Road, the distances are set out in the report. And then the report makes reference to here as well.
But currently you have to walk round to the bottom of Field Lane to visit the supermarket there.
Right. Yeah.
And that's walkable distance.
For some?
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? Ashcroft.
Yeah, can you just point out where the bus routes are along there, please?
Yes. So can you see on here, I've got those two light blue dots on there. So the site entrance is approximately here.
Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Huckabee.
Yeah, emphasis has been placed on the, if we put the previous slide up with the local plan boundaries, or settlement boundaries it's called, I noticed that adjacent there's quite a substantial area of fields. Is that part of already approved building plans applications.
Sorry, do you mean here?
Yeah.
There's a resolution, that's the site I referred to earlier.
Right.
And I think some of the speakers also referred to it. That's an allocation in the local plan.
Yeah.
This green area is a strategic green gap.
So there's no chance of swapping that particular area and taking it out of another area, in the sense of bringing the development boundary to include that and then compensating for it by reducing the boundary elsewhere.
That's not before you today, no.
Yeah. I think we're just looking at what's before us. We can't make...
Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Whittaker.
Can I just ask what's the basis of the demand for this on the back of all the other developments? How can we justify that demand at this point? And what sort of situation we are regarding the level of affordable homes and first time buyers in the borough?
In terms of starter homes, they're a fairly new product. And we don't have that information before us at this stage. There has been some sites that have been delivering them, but they're still quite new. So we don't have the exact number in terms of how many have been delivered to date. There were some government grants as well, so some sites were going to be doing more starter homes. So we haven't had those kind of data returns fed back to us as an authority yet. In terms of affordable housing in general, so the local plan aims to see the delivery of 112 affordable homes on average per year from 2012 to 2031. Between 2012 and March this year, 1,205 were delivered. So that's just over half of the requirement over the plan period. But it does leave a shortfall. And that shortfall, based on sites that have got permission that they will be delivering affordable housing, there's a shortfall of an average of 9 per year for the rest of the plan period. So a total of, can't do math, about 70 over the plan period.
So what you're saying, we haven't got that information at this point where we are at the level. It's just it's speculative at this point. So there's no great pressure on us to deliver those houses at this point in the plan period.
In terms of affordable housing, I've identified that we have got a shortfall over the plan period based on what's been approved to date, what's been delivered to date, approved, and in the pipeline, it's the starter homes that we haven't got that detail on yet. But as it's a new product, there haven't been many.
Sorry, Chairman, did you say we have got a shortfall of affordable housing?
Of 9 per year, that's based on current commitments.
And what's already in the plan going forward?
Yes.
So we've got a shortfall of 9 per year for the next
eight years.
8 years.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Ashcroft, did you want to speak?
Yeah, if you don't mind. One of the objections mentioned at the boundary between the existing homes and the area where the new homes could possibly be built at some point is under the required standard. Can you just clarify that for me, please?
Yes, it's the Atwood Neighbourhood Plan that has this buffer policy in it. As the application's only an outline for you today, that wouldn't be something that we would, be taken into account. That would be something for the reserve matters. But from looking at the indicative layout, it's considered that buffer could be achieved.
Thank you. Do we have any more speakers on the item? Thank you, committee members. We don't have any more speakers on the item. So just in summary, to sum up the application, what we're looking at before us, we've listened to the comments by the objectors, by the agent, by yourselves, committee members. Obviously, we can see that it falls outside of the settlement boundary. The officer's obviously proposal does not fully accord with the council's definition of rural exception sites for the purposes of policies SP8, SP18, the local plan, and housing choices SPD 2019. The weight of the matter here is that, however, the scheme does comply with paragraph 72 of NPPF, and the weight placed on it is the need for affordable housing. So, we'll put it to a vote. Can I have a proposer, if we may, for taking the application forward?
A recommendation.
Do we have any other recommendations?
Then I'm guessing if we don't approve it, we refuse it. I guess that's the basic. If we want a motion to move a motion that we approve it and then see how the vote goes, we can do that for you if that's what you're asking us to do. But I'm not quite sure.
Well, let me just explain. So we've got to move a motion. So he's asked you to move a motion, so for the recommendation. And obviously then we would go to the votes, but if that was seconded. If he hasn't got that motion, he asks for another motion. Right, members, if you are moving a motion for refusal, then you will have to clearly, at this point, give your reasons what that refusal is going to be. And that, obviously, everybody here has got to be aware of what those refusals are.
My motion will be based on the fact that it's outside all of the planned plans, outside the local plan, outside the neighbourhood plan, outside the settlement boundary. So I think that's it breaks three particular specific elements of work done by previous officers and councils. And I strongly support the work that work done previously. Yeah, my particular concerns, yes.
All right, so do we have a seconder for that?
Yeah, I'll second that, but I mean, I've got issues with the highways as well, so I would have issues on the highway side at this point.
Well, you'd have to ask obviously the person who's proposed it to add those,
yeah.
If that's what you want.
I can add that to my motion.
Right.
I could also add to it the greenbelt issues. I believe there's no policy on interlinking villages and what have you, so I can't really add that to it, but I do notice the spread between Horninglow and Tutbury, which is of a concern to me.
Naomi, what have you got? Because we might need to just read that.
Just to clarify, Councillor Huckabee, so your motion is that the to refuse the applications is outside the settlement boundary, highway safety implications of the new proposed junction, and then you mentioned the third, which was the character of the settlement. Is that correct, the three? Or
I guess
character?
Yes, if you use character, yes.
Do we have a seconder for those reasons for refusal? So we have Councillor Whittaker, who's...
Take it to vote then. So we've got the proposer and seconder for the refusal, and we've got the notes. If we can take it to a vote, so all those to refuse the application, or everyone to refuse the application.
It's unanimous, you don't need to take it.
That's unanimous. Thank you. Application has been refused. Could I just ask anybody who wants to leave the room now before the next item's being discussed, if you could please make your way out? Thank you.
No, don't let them speak.
Yeah, thank you. If you can leave the room quietly, please. Thank you. Thank you. If we can reconvene to the next item on the agenda, this planning application reference number P2023-00578. It's the application for reserved matters relating to the construction of a primary and nursery school creation with new access, parking, amenity space, landscaping, formation of a multi-use games area, fencing and other associated works, including details of access, appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. Address Branston Locks Primary and Nursery School, Branston Locks, Branston Road, Tatenhill, DE13 9SB. We have three speakers on this item. If I could start with going ahead. Apologies if we can get the officer to present the
chair.
Just an update on the recommendation. We've got it down for approval. That's still going to remain the same. It's just and subject to conditions and the signing of a UU. Now, as you are aware, obviously there's an outline application that's got a section 106 on it that requires that access has got to be provided within 2 months of the school opening. Now that does require a turning circle as well, obviously, for the people to be able to, the people dropping off at the school and coming back. Now what we were going to do is secure that, obviously it's already secured anyway in the section 106, and I want to assure members of that, but the detail isn't there. So what we wanted to do was secure that through this application to add the UU, but what we're going to do is we've already, at the moment on the actual outline, we've got a discharge of condition for the road application, because this road is outside the red line of this application that you're considering today. So what we've decided to do is to obviously not discharge that condition unless obviously we've got this mechanism in place, just to clarify what the turning circle is included with the access. So because it doesn't particularly, obviously it relates in the sense that the school wouldn't be able to open if it didn't have those two things in place, but the road is outside the red line, so we felt it fits better dealing with it as part of the discharge of application for the road. So that's why there's no longer a UU required. So the recommendation is just approved subject to the conditions.
Okay, so good afternoon. So this is application P2023-00578, Branston Locks Primary and Nursery School within the Branston Locks Sustainable Urban Extension. The proposal, as identified, is a reserve matters application for the construction of the primary school, creation of new access, parking, amenity space, landscaping, formation of a multi-use games area, fencing and other associated works, including the details of access, appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. I would refer you to the update report as well, which does include two further representations on the application. The outline consent, it's Section 106 agreement and design guide, all made provision for a new primary school within the Sustainable Urban Extension of Branston Locks and identified a site for the school. The size of the school, i.e. a two-form entry, was established within the Section 106. The plan here identifies the application site in black. Where the cursor is at the moment, that is the traffic island on Branston Road, where we visited this morning. This is, and then the line of the existing section of Spine Road that leads past the Taylor Wimpey development, situated to the west of the Spine Road. This is Cameron Homes Phase 1 development, Cameron Homes Phase 2 that we saw this morning. Crest Nicholson development has been approved in this area here to the west of the school. This is John Taylor Free, the high school. The traffic island is here, allowing a secondary access into the estate for the Cameron Homes and Crest developments. The rugby club situated to the south, and the parking area here for John Taylor Free and for the rugby club. This is the canal, which is obviously a conservation area, with the industrial development that is part of the Sustainable Urban Extension. There's four units already approved and in situ there, with some further development of the industrial still to come. Move on to the this provides a better indication of the overall size of the SUE as a whole. The green at the top is Lovell Homes. That's currently under construction for 190 dwellings. The yellow at the bottom, as mentioned, that's Cameron Homes Phase 1, and that is for 70 dwellings, already built and occupied. Cameron Homes Phase 2 is the pinky colour. That's 239 homes. That's nearing completion. Crest Nicholson is the beige colour here. That is approved for 284 homes. We've got discharge conditions in for that at the moment, but they haven't started on site. And the turquoise area is Taylor Wimpey, which is the 201 dwellings. That's completed and occupied. We walked through there today to go to the end here to have a look at the site. This is a disposals plan that's been put forward that represents the current situation and is based on the approved design guide for the whole of the SUE that was approved at the time of the outline consent. It shows the various developments that have already got approval. The dark green here is yet to come forward, and the orange and the blue here, they've yet to come forward for development. The school is identified as the hatched area in red, surrounded by a further red area. The other red area around it is the proposed local centre, which would include some commercial development as well as some further residential development. The spine road follows through here in front of the school and carries on up through the site. So the local centre would, part of it would be on the same side of the spine road as the school, but the majority would be on the opposite side of the spine road. There's strategic green infrastructure that we saw this morning on site that runs through the site as a whole. It's the grey marked on here. That runs to the west of the application site between the Crest development and the school site. There's also areas of green infrastructure set between the Taylor Wimpey development and the further development of the local centre and the school. Just some brief photographs. The top one is the site prior to any work starting on site, showing the woodland area in the distance that sits outside of the application site and outside of the SUE. The bottom one does show that work has started on site. As I explained this morning, this is enabling work that started on site due to the time frame for the school build, so that they can be open for September 2024. The works are enabling works that are covered under Informative 1 on the outline consent, works that can be undertaken prior to development commencing. This is where we stood this morning at the end of the Taylor Wimpey development, with an area of green infrastructure immediately in front here, and then the school site. You can just about see the digger on site, etc. The school site just situated beyond that. The spine road. The photographs of the existing part of the spine road that we obviously drove down this morning. The gated element is the end of the spine road, which is there on this plan. So this is the Taylor Wimpey development. This is the end of the existing spine road. So the green area is the new road that would be provided for access to the school. The question that was asked this morning was there any triggers for within the original outline consent and Section 106 agreement for completion of the spine road. There is no trigger in the original Section 106 that requires the completion of the spine road at a certain point. So it is the intention of Nurtons, who are the overall developer and are responsible for providing all the green infrastructure and the road network, that they will provide the spine road piecemeal as development progresses through the site. Okay, so looking at the site layout, the building is set back from the road frontage, with extensive landscaping to the frontage, pedestrian access points. The main entrance to the building is here. Pedestrian access points along the spine road, surface access. The car park, which would be for staff only, a 48-space car park in compliance with the parking standards SPD for school development, would be accessed off a a smaller road that would come off, a side road that would come off the spine road, and that would be the access into the car park there. So the main building, the frontage element here would be a single storey. The school hall on the frontage would have a two-storey height to it, but the main two-storey element of the school would be in a wing set to the rear, with sports provision to the rear, the Muga, the informal play, outdoor space, and the formal sports facilities set to the rear. So the school is proposed to be two-form entry for 420 pupils and 52 place nursery, in line with the requirements of the Section 106 agreement. This is part of the strategic green infrastructure set to the rear of the site. This is part of the Crest development site here. The main public right of way would run through the strategic green infrastructure to the rear of the site. You'll note on here that there is landscaping to the frontage of the site. There is also 35 trees to be provided throughout the site. Although the site sits within the National Forest, there is no requirement for National Forest planting within the site itself, because the original outline consent and strategic green infrastructure provides for the National Forest planting within those green space areas. But there is 35 trees proposed within the site. Okay, so some basic floor plans. So the wing to the rear is two-storey and provides the main Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 teaching areas. The nursery, situated in this single-storey element here, administration, the school hall here in green, so that would be two-storey in height, although only it doesn't have a second floor. So the layout does allow for further expansion of the school if necessary in the future, with sufficient space to the rear of the two-storey wing. Okay. So some elevations. The frontage, so a flat-roofed contemporary construction. The flat roof will allow for solar panels to be provided on the roof. A light buff-coloured brickwork to the main frontage, with contrast Staffordshire blue brickwork around the main entrance here. Then the rear wing would have a render to the first floor element. The DfE requires net zero carbon in operation requirements, and the proposals are in compliance with that. Okay. Just some sort of 3D images of what the school would look like. This is from the front elevation from the street, showing the extensive landscaping on the frontage, the building set back, and the light colouring of the scheme, and the proposed car parking arrangements with a low wall and railings around that area, and landscaping to the frontage of it. Okay. As explained previously, the Nertons are required to provide the road network. This is the agreed, finally, road layout to serve the school. This does not form part of this reserve matters application that is before you today. It is with Staffordshire County Council Highways to provide a technical approval, and we have a discharge of condition 18 on the outline consent as a discharge condition application. Only once the County Council have provided the technical approval can we issue the discharge of condition decision. So that is how this road would be approved. It is not part of the current application. There has been extensive negotiations over the last few weeks to improve the layout of the proposed road. Initially, it only ran to the service entrance of the school, which is here. So the road didn't go beyond that, and it did not include a turning head. The road has therefore been extended the full length of the school site and a turning head provided. Staffs County Council advised that the turning head was required to ensure the safe operation of the school until such time that the road is extended further beyond the school or the local centre, which would be on the here on the opposite side of the road, is developed, which would include an access road into it and parking facilities within the local centre. It's difficult to see in detail on this plan, but the road would be provided effectively in two phases. The first phase would be provision of the road for the safe operation of the school, which includes the turning head and the access in for the school car park area, so this piece of road here as well. A shared surface including traffic calming details, guardrails at each of the pedestrian access points, and zigzag road markings for the to make a clear area in front of the school. Phase two would be the provision of the toucan crossing somewhere within that length of the school, the details of which will be provided and secured at the time that we get an application for the local centre. There is a requirement in the section 106 to provide that crossing, and it would need to be in place before the local centre opens. But again, this road is the responsibility of Nurtons to provide. It doesn't form part of the school application. This is layout of the strategic green infrastructure that sits to the rear of the site and provides public footpath route. It doesn't form part of this application and is approved through Nurtons through discharge condition on the original outline consent. Okay. So just going through some basic elements in the report. So the consultations in terms of county highways, I've raised no objections to subject to conditions, including to secure a school travel plan. The road layout is amended to extend the section of road and provide a turning facility to allow for the safe operation of the school. Education. The original section 106 detailed the education contributions that were payable, and the contributions for primary education have been paid at the appropriate trigger points depending on the number of houses developed. Excuse me. The flood risk team, no objections, and condition 40 on the outline consent, and they've submitted sufficient detail for that to be discharged. Similarly with archaeology, the written scheme of investigation has been submitted, required by the outline consent, and is considered to be satisfactory. The Environment Agency and Severn Trent Water have raised no objections. The new officer has considered there's no impact on Great Crested Newts, subject to a condition to ensure implementation in accordance with the ecology report. Sport England have raised no objections, subject to a condition to secure the specifications of the sports pitch, and are supportive of the proposed community use. Excuse me. Staffordshire Police have raised no objections but provided security and design advice. Canal and River Trust, no comments. Environmental Health, no objections, subject to condition regarding any unexpected contamination found on the site. The tree officer has raised no objections. There would be one oak tree lost as part of the proposals, but subject to tree protection and implementation of the agreed method statement, they've raised no objections. And as previously stated, there will be 35 trees, new trees provided. In terms of publicity and representations, there's been objections received from both the Tayton Hill and Rangemoore and the Branston Parish Councils. The key objections raised: insufficient parking, no drop-off stroke pick-up facilities, existing traffic and parking issues with John Taylor Free School, additional school traffic will cause more congestion, suggested staggering start and finish times. Parking at schools is a contentious issue across the borough. No comments received from any ward members. The MP welcomes the new school but supports the parish council's concerns regarding drop-off and pick-up facilities. On the initial consultation, 8 individual objections have been received. Summarised as already in significant disruption in the area from John Taylor Free School, likely increasing traffic congestion. Insufficient parking. No parent drop-off provision. Age range of children means they will be accompanied by parents and drop-off by car, likely a shared trips with going to work. Suggest staggered start and finish times. Suggest traffic management scheme for residential streets. Disruption outside of school times from events and community use. Concerns about child safety due to additional traffic. Likely children from outside the area attending, bringing more cars, and impact on ecology. The policies taken into consideration: the MPPS, East Staffs Local Plan, East Staffordshire Design Guide, Car Parking SPD, and the Branston Neighbourhood Plan. So, looking at the main assessment of the scheme. The principle of development. The principle of the provision of a primary school has been established through the outline consent and associated Section 106 agreement with the design principles approved under the approved design guide. John Taylor Matt has been appointed to run the school, which is being built under the DfE Free School Programme Wave 13. Design and impact on character of the area. Design and layout, the building and use of materials is considered appropriate, providing a modern, architecturally distinctive building appropriate for the location in the central hub of the estate. The scale and massing of the building with a mix of single and two-storey heights is appropriate and addresses the street with extensive landscaping to the frontage. The main teaching areas will be set to the rear, away from the road, with sports facilities set behind the building. In terms of amenity, the closest residential properties already approved would sit approximately 90 metres from the school boundary, with the strategic green infrastructure set between. Whilst the local centre is likely to include some residential properties, which would sit closer to the school, the design and layout is unknown at this time. Given the separation distance and the green space set between, it is considered the proposal would have no adverse impact on the amenities of the known surrounding residential occupiers. Highways. The proposed car parking and cycle storage facilities fully comply with the parking standards SPD. There is no provision for parent drop-off stroke pick-up within the site, in line with Staffs County Council and Department of Education policies that encourage walking and cycling to school. The spine road will be extended to provide access to the school, and its design has been amended and its length extended the full length of the school site, with a turning head provided to improve the safety for pupils. The additional length of road will provide space for parent drop-off. The new road layout requires technical approval by Staffs County Council, as previously mentioned, and approval under Condition 18 on the outline consent. A school travel plan is conditioned. By the time the school opens, an interim bus service should be in place along Branston Road. The report does explain that a bus route through the site is not a practical solution at the current time, so an interim service is looking to be provided along Branston Road. Flood risk and drainage. The flood risk and drainage details are considered appropriate for the site. Trees and landscaping. One oak tree will be lost, but 35 new trees will be planted, including 5 English oaks. All the retained trees and hedging will be protected during construction. Extensive landscaping will be provided to the frontage of the school and around the site, including hedging, shrub planting and meadow planting, and is considered appropriate to improve the natural environment for pupils. The approved strategic green infrastructure for the site as a whole provides the required national forest planting. Ecology. The submitted preliminary ecological appraisal recommends a series of ecological mitigation stroke enhancement measures, and together with the proposed landscaping will improve the ecological value of the site. Building sustainability. The DfE require the building to achieve net zero carbon operation. The design includes air source heat pumps, solar panels to the roof, natural daylight and passive solar heating. The use of light coloured materials will reduce the absorption of heat, reducing the likelihood of overheating. Section 106 agreement. The proposals are considered to be in line with the original outline and Section 106 agreement for the provision of a primary school. The developer's education payments for primary school provision have been paid in line with the triggers in the Section 106. Whilst the Section 106 requires the provision of access to the school, it does not include a turning head. A unilateral undertaking, as Sherry mentioned, it is now considered that we will be doing that through the discharge of the condition 18 rather than as a unilateral undertaking, to ensure that the safe operation of the school and the provision of the turning head until such time that the spine road is extended further north or the local centre is provided. So in conclusion, the proposals comply with the local plan, parking standards SPD, East Staffordshire Neighbourhood Design Guide, Branston Neighbourhood Plan and the National Planning Policy Framework. As the local planning authority, we have worked proactively with the applicants to ensure the best possible outcome for the proposals. The recommendation is to approve subject to conditions as per the report.
Thank you. We have a number of speakers on this item. If I could ask for Parish Councillor Ray Faulkner to come forward, please.
Members of the committee, you heard that the application for the school has a condition 18 on it, and for me that is where I'm going to ask you to look at very carefully. We are very happy with the provision of a school, need the school, but what we're saying at the moment is that the safety of the children should be paramount during planning. And I don't think the County Council have taken sufficient cognizance of the problems that this road is going to create. It's okay putting a turning circle in now, but when that is a spine road, that is going to go through to the Albion Pub on Shobnal Road, and that is going to give huge amount of traffic down that road, circuiting to the A38 from Shobnal. And that will mean that road is going to be extremely busy and dangerous. What the County Council is proposing at the moment is a drop-off alongside the school where there are zigzags and limited drop-off areas. There is a verge alongside the road that can be cut into, and there is even a central reservation that they put which will do nothing at all apart from create hazard and create cost in terms of maintaining a central reservation. I suggest you look very carefully at this proposal. I had a plan which was up bigger than this table to actually identify the problems that this is going to create for children. Remember, this is going to have a nursery attached to it. Therefore, there are kiddies from 3 upwards of 7 at this school who will not walk to school, particularly if the weather is inclement, and they will be taken by car. Now, there's 40 nursery places. That's 40 journeys straight away. And these people are going to have to park somewhere and drop their kiddies off. And it's impossible to actually find how they're going to be able to do that safely when if they park alongside the road, as is indicated on this plan, you're going to be blocking the road. People are then going to be getting agitated and irritated trying to pass. And it's going to be a disaster and an accident waiting to happen. So I ask you to study this plan in this road very, very carefully. We know the problems that schools create throughout the whole borough. And we know the problems in Branston in terms of the schools we have there. The Ricknell School actually backs up onto the A38 island when kids are dropped off and picked up. And the John Taylor School yesterday backed up over the A38 island all the way from the John Taylor parking lot. That was at 3:30. So consider the residents of Branston when we're doing this. Consider the safety of those children. I ask you, members of the committee, can you actually put pressure on the County Council to get a road traffic modelling data for this to ensure that our children are going to be safe? This is the only chance you're going to get to be able to do that, because once that's road in, that road is put in the way they have designed it, you won't be able to go back and change it, and it's going to put very small children's lives at risk. So I ask you, see how we can actually prevent that section discharge condition 18 not being discharged until you are really happy with the fact that we've got a parking and a lay-by where people can drop off and pick up at opening and closing time of the school. That will ensure that our children and the future of this borough are taken care of. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
That councilman. I just want to just tell members that just at the moment that discharge 18 doesn't form part of this red line plan that you're looking at today. Just making you aware of that. That is a separate application that's being considered by officers.
Thank you. If I can have Tara Jones come forward, please.
Good afternoon. Okay. Right, I currently live on the Teddy Wimple estate. I'm the closest neighbour. I live at the cul-de-sac at the end of Battersted Road. I'm here to talk to you about the parent parking, which doesn't exist. I would like some land allocated next to the school site for which it's safe for kids to be taken to school. Most people these days go by car. And there's going to be 420 pupils, primary school pupils, 52 places for the nursery. The reception class and the nursery and also SEND students, they will have to be walked into school, taken into the playground, given to the school teacher. So they'll be on site, they'll be parked up for 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, and in the evening they will arrive at least 10 minutes before the school finishes to come and do the same again. Okay. What about school events? But thinking about sports day, summer fair, plays. Where are the parents going to park? I do not want them parking on my housing estate. The state roads are very narrow. The purchase contracts say that no parking is to be on the roads, even though it sometimes does happen. There is no visitor parking on the housing estate. The current school, John Taylor Free School, has a massive car park, but this is still insufficient. Parents park on both the Cameron and the Taylor Wimpey estates, even especially in the afternoons, but it's also a problem in the mornings. There are signs in place to try to deter this, but this doesn't work. It is now getting dangerous trying to leave the Taylor Wimpey estate. The road is so busy. It often takes at least 5 minutes, but often 10 minutes to leave the estate. I have a disabled son who needs to get to school every day. Will I actually be able to get out my drive? I do not know. I'm on the end of the cul-de-sac. It is all said that pupils will come from the estates to fill these schools. But how many is that really? If you look at John Taylor Free School, a majority will come from other areas and not from the housing estates. Public transport. If they are coming from other areas, they will be coming on a minibus or another bus. And they will be dropped off in the drop-off zone. Come on, they'll be parked up as well, where they're going to be. So all I'm asking for you is to consider a small piece of land at the other end of the school site, for which there's nothing allocated as yet, in which we can safely have a parent parking zone. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If we can have the final speaker, Amanda Pickering, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Amanda Pickering and I'm acting on behalf of the applicant, Tilbury Douglas Construction, who have been appointed by the DfE to deliver the new school, which is to be run by the John Taylor Trust. We're pleased to see that the application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions, and I would like to thank officers for their thorough report and proactive approach to the application. The proposed site forms part of the wider Branston Lock Sustainable Urban Extension, which made provision for the construction of a primary school within the local centre. The principle of the use of the land is established, and this application seeks approval of the details of the scheme. Whilst the statutory consultees have raised no objection to the proposed school, we do acknowledge the issues raised by local residents and the parish councils with regard to the lack of drop-off, potential traffic generation and the impact on local roads. And I would just like to focus on these issues briefly. The number of car and cycle spaces has been increased and now complies with adopted standards. However, the proposed development does not include a drop-off and pick-up, since it is the Trust and Staffordshire County Council's view that the mixing of vehicular traffic and pupils within the site would represent a safety hazard and conflict with the duty of care which schools have towards their pupils. It would also deter travel by sustainable modes. The road proposals, which are to be implemented by Nurton Development, the developer of the site, and which are subject to the current discharge of condition application, have recently been amended and now provide for a road along the full frontage with a turning head at the end. This will provide sufficient space, estimated to be in excess of 29 spaces, outside of the restricted areas for those parents who wish to drop off their children and enable them to manoeuvre in a safe manner. Staffordshire County Council consider that proposed arrangements are now acceptable. The John Taylor Trust confirmed that the school places are to meet a local need and therefore do not anticipate large numbers of parents arriving at the school by car due to its highly sustainable location. The Trust advises that as a general guide, 1,000 houses generates a one form entry. Therefore, the proposed two form entry school should not need to draw beyond the approved community of 2,500 houses. The school has a phased start and will open with one nursery and one reception class only. It will take 6 years to reach the capacity, by which time most of the houses will have been constructed. The Trust are adopting other measures to reduce the impact of the school on local roads, including the provision of all before and after school clubs for pupils, thereby reducing numbers at peak times, commitment to implementing the travel plan, which focuses on encouraging access by means other than the car, as envisaged by the design guide, and considering staggering of the start and finish times of the secondary and primary schools. Given this, the Trust and the DfE are confident that the proposed development will provide sufficient parking to meet the needs of the school and that there will be no adverse impact on the highway network.
In the report to committee, the officer sets out a number of significant material considerations which justify the granting of planning permission, and the proposal has been found acceptable in all respects. We hope that you can endorse your officer's recommendation to approve. Thank you.
Thank you. If I can now open the floor up for committee members to debate. Do we have any speakers? Councillor Jones.
Could I just ask Sherry to clarify this turning circle issue? Because are we guaranteed that that's going to be delivered if we approve this application today, first? And secondly, are there any additional sort of road surface changes and all the rest of it around that area of school that makes that will make that traffic slow down when it's going along that area of the road, particularly when it's, you know, the turning circle is removed long term?
Well, I can't answer that, but I'm sure that Barbara might, that Barbara can answer that one, but I can't
answer
that.
Great.
I just
got a bit lost with your explanation.
Yeah, did you? Sorry, I do apologise. Yeah.
No,
I think what it is, we have a section 106 that says they have to provide the access, as you know. But unfortunately, obviously, that was done many years ago, and it doesn't actually mention this turning circle. So Barbara has been in hours of discussions, obviously, to make sure that we get this turning circle, and has now got plans, haven't you, showing the turning circle as part of the discharge of application. So, I mean, obviously, that's what's there now, and that's what's going to be approved, is that that's there. The only slight, and I've being honest with members, the only slight thing is that obviously that discharge condition won't give you the time. So obviously we have been told by Nurtons that they would let us have a letter of comfort to say that that will be obviously be in place before the school opens. I can't see it's of nobody's benefit for it not to be there. So it's got to be there, because obviously from a health and safety issue for the school, it's going to be difficult. But when you say, can I give you, I'm 99% sure it was just that the section 106 didn't detail it enough.
So can we build that into the approval today, that that has to be delivered? I know that's not specifically part of this application, because this application is just, you know, just on the site in the school, but is there any way we can build that in so that we are totally comfortable with the fact that there will be a turning circle there? I think it was, Barbara said, 2 months before the school was due to open.
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
Yes, and obviously that would have been what we wanted to do, where we had a unilateral undertaking, which was obviously going to ensure that, because obviously Nurtons, this is at the red line, this isn't in the site, so it's not the actual applicants here who've got to do that. We've got to rely on Nurtons, who are doing the overall infrastructure. So we obviously approached Nurtons to ask them if they would enter into a UU. I drafted one, so it was all ready just to go, so they just had to sign it. And I think the preference is that obviously we deal with it through the discharge of condition, that 18, and that's the preference there. So that's why we've had to change the recommendation to members today to say that that will be in place before the school is open. So I suppose what you're looking at is the school opening in 2024. I mean, we're on very, very tight deadlines for that to happen, because obviously there's a lot of work that's got to go in between now and then. But that's what's planning, and it's, would you agree that that's what they're looking at, really? But I think Barbara's had a lot more discussions with them than me, so she might be able to offer a little bit extra.
Is there anything we can do to say that...
No. We have tried every option, and we have looked at everything. I have been in a lot of meetings on it, and so has Barbara, and I think, I'm going to be honest with members, no, there isn't, is this, because it's not in the red line site. So it's, we've got to deal with Nurtons through all of the discharge or all of the applications in terms of the school. So what I would give you comfort and say is that Barbara's very much on to making sure that that is delivered.
Okay. Once we get planning permission today, then we lose any sort of any power and leverage
What I would say is that the section 106 requires Nurtons to provide access to the school. So if they don't provide access, they are in breach of the section 106 agreement. They are also required to discharge condition 18, which is the technical approval for the road. That technical approval, the design, is based on the plan that's on the screen, which shows the turning head. So we would not discharge condition 18 until County Council tell us that they have granted technical approval for this design. So rest assured, we will not discharge condition 18, which will let Nurtons build the road until such time that we know that that has got technical approval for them to construct it in that way.
So what's the impact of us not discharging the condition? I.e. they haven't delivered it, and we're not discharging the condition. What's the impact of that as far as this development goes?
That the school couldn't open if it hasn't got appropriate access?
It could be completely developed, it could be completely ready to go, and it just could not open. And we have that power, effectively. Is that what you're saying?
In not discharging the condition?
Yes.
They would be in breach of if they used the roads. They would be in breach of the condition, and they would be in breach of the Section 106.
I think.
Got to give access, but that road has got to be in place. So we have that. What we haven't got in the Section 106 is a turning circle. So it's just the extra bit that we're going to secure through the discharge of condition. It's very difficult when you've got a phased development because this isn't in the red line, you see, but it will facilitate the development. So what you're looking at today, really, members, is that school site. Is the school site. And I know that's difficult because you're concerned about this, but you are just looking at what's in that red line, and is that acceptable to you?
I do understand that, but when we look at that, we also look at the safety.
Yeah, of course. It is, and that's why I'm trying to give you assurance that I know for a fact that Bob is pretty.
Not yet,
Councillor.
You also asked about the surface treatment of that area. It would be different to the rest of the road. The design guide requires that. There would be traffic calming, so it would be a raised platform on that bit of the road and traffic calming. So as you come into it, it would appear a very different part of the road network. It would be different to the areas either side of it. As I mentioned, phase two would include a toucan crossing across the spine road as well, once that would need to be provided before the local centre opens.
Councillor Huckabee.
Attached to Councillor Jones's reservations about what she's heard on the officers' discussions, she says that, Councillor says that the authority to open the school lies with East Daffsborough Council. If it doesn't approve the Section 18, then it won't open. Who in East Daffsborough Council has the authority over whether or not it agrees that the Section 18 is relevant or not?
It isn't authority. It's condition 18 on the original outline consent requires details, specific specifications and details of the road to be submitted for approval. That application is with us. It is a current discharge of condition application, but the road layout has been amended during the course of that application. The final details are still to receive technical approval from Staff County Council. Their technical approval is a very detailed and complex procedure. There are specific officers that's all they do is look at the technical details and make sure the road construction will be appropriate, and it has to go through a safety audit as well. It would only be at the stage where Staffs County Council tell us that they have granted technical approval, the safety audit has been assessed and is appropriate, that we can issue the notice for Condition 18. So the County Council will have to provide that technical approval and tell us they've done that before we would issue the decision on Condition 18.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% convinced that, given the situations that humans find themselves in and the deviation from particularly agreed pathways, means that you're asking us to give approval to something that is going to either be done or not done in the future, depending on the persuasion of certain people's arguments against other arguments. Okay, that's as far as we can go, and we have to take opinion on that.
Yeah. Can I just clarify? You're going, when you're saying that it won't be done, that they have to provide, we have got that absolutely affirmative, that they have to provide the access.
Yeah, if it was part of an S106.
It is.
No, the turning head's not part of an S106.
Not at the moment, no.
Because you've already stated that it's not.
Yes.
Then it has to be done by a gentleman's agreement.
It hasn't got to be done by a gentleman's agreement. It's got to be done by a discharge. An application has been submitted to discharge the access, the road. And on that, as you can see, they've included a turning head.
But there will be a discussion, no doubt, between, or has been a discussion about the cost of providing it.
Yeah, they've submitted
And if the council had been more alacritous in its understanding of the development of the road through the site,
yes,
they would have probably hoped for the road to have been put in all the way to Forest Road first, with a certain number of islands as link roads or spine roads came into it to provide turning circles. As it is, that's not there.
But it's being offered as part of a discharge of a condition. I really don't understand where you think I think what you're saying is you're talking apathetically about what we should have done is had the phasing of all the and made sure it came in. But the point is, I'm saying that you do have comfort that condition 18 has been provided these plans last. When was it, Barbara, when they provided those plans to you?
The final set of drawings was submitted on the 15th of September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt, in all honesty, these situations are presented to us to make a decision on. In the best knowledge that's available, given the best conversations and the best responses. But I do know, in other areas, that S106 funds, which this probably should have been in the first place, aren't being spent in the location and on the pressures that these developments are supposed to take place.
If we can just stick to the specifics, please.
All right, can I move on then? You show us descriptions of the buildings. Is this relevant to this planning decision? I mean, they were pretty pictures with flat roofs. If they are pertinent to this application, then topically at the moment, flat roofs are a danger when they're associated with schools. So will we ensure that the roofs of these schools are safe with regard to the planning applications when the detailed ones come in? I don't know whether it's relevant or not to this particular, but I met the comment.
Those are the detailed plans. That's
yes.
Why they were relevant, and that's why I showed you the design of the buildings. The flat roof is considered appropriate in terms of design, and it will hold the solar panels. There'll be a slight parapet, and the solar panels will be sitting on the roof behind. In terms of the construction details, that will be something that would require building regulations approval. We're looking at the design and layout of the building. The actual technical construction of the building is building regulations.
Just as an aside to that, the issues with what is generally known as aero chocolate concrete is that there is a specific design life to it, and that there is regular maintenance to ensure that water does not.
I think we're going off topic now.
Just as an aside, that's informative, you might say. Yeah.
Building regs will pick all that up. Obviously, we're just looking at what
passed.
That's in the past, we're looking
right
at what's in the future. Today.
With regard to the road going through, once this turning head has been removed, then there'll be nowhere, unless there's further islands into this road going through, there will be no turning circles. So people traversing to drop the kids off will have to travel right the way through to Forest Road. Otherwise, they've got to start reversing up side roads to get back out.
The turning head would remain in place until such time that the spine road is extended further for further development. Beyond where we are at the moment in terms of development, until the local centre is developed. The local centre, as was mentioned this morning, will include a vehicle access into it and some parking facilities. So there will be turning and parking facilities as part of the local centre going forward. We haven't had the plans yet for the local centre, but that will be a reserve matter submission that will come before members when we have that application in.
So directly opposite the school, where you've got the raised and zigzagged drop-off point, directly opposite there is going to be a centre which is going to attract other vehicles other than those used to drop the kids off at any particular point in time.
Yes, it is a central hub within the centre
Of the development.
So you don't see the likely incursion into that area of even more vehicles as being a pressure on what will be, for the moment, a straight road with barriers, gaps in the barriers, with raised tarmac or whatever, zigzag to alert people that it's a special place. You don't see that the inclusion of access into the centre will add pressure to what is already questionable.
Approval for the local centre has still, well, an application for the local centre is still to come before us and will come to committee. So if at that point you don't consider that's appropriate, then that's for members to look at that point. At the moment, the application for consideration is for the school. The school was the position and of the school and the local centre formed part of the approved design guide that was approved at the time of the outline consent and the Section 106 agreement. So there is an approved design guide for the whole of the Branston Locks development, and this forms part of it. They're within all the guidance in the approved design guide.
We've had reference from the Parish Council representative with regard to urging us to take special attention to the, if I use the word gridlock, that happens in that total area. One might be drawn to the conclusion or the point of view that possibly those original design guides, weren't as well done as possibly it's turned out in reality to be.
I think we're just going around in circles in here, Councillor. We need to look at the application.
No, I know we can't. I understand that.
And we have a red line plan around the school. I fully understand that. understand that members want comfort in terms of the turning circle, because that's not captured in section 180.
If you
fully understand that point, that we, the principle is always
right
there.
If, can I ask the question then? You are guiding me to vote on the restraints of what's in front of me, regardless of any thoughts of consequences that my actions may invite in the future, or create in the future. Okay.
Moving on, Councillor Slater.
Sorry, so we've established then, can we, that if and when the central hub becomes an application, we can refuse that on the basis that the school's opposite is not a safe road. Is that what you're telling us?
At this stage, I would just say the application for local centre will come before you.
Well, I know it's not there.
And you will be informed of all of the statutory consultees on that application.
Yes. Obviously, you look at that application on its merits.
Of course, yes. I accept that point. So. But what I'm getting at is we are, in effect, saying that. We're almost in the point of saying, well, we'll refuse any further development if this is not safe. So that's is that what we're saying? We're not saying that. And is that allowed? I don't know. It seems like it. Because we're told we can only review this application, and it's just trying to get the principle that we can extend our thoughts a bit further into the future for what other things might be done. So I mean, that reassures me in a way, because we have got some leverage, haven't we, over the developer. So I think that needs to be clear that they understand that we have got that degree of power, perhaps.
Yes. You've got other schemes that are going to come from you.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've also got Hamza
on the discharge
condition that shows the turning circle.
Yeah.
That hasn't
charged
yet
because we raised it for technical approval of that. So that's
really where we are.
Thank you.
Councillor Whittaker, please.
Yeah, I'm confident in what the officers have done towards this application, and I think we've got to a point where everything else is out of our control. I'm not particularly confident in the County Council and the highways when they do these jobs, because we had the same in Uttoxeter when it was the limited parking, no drop-off, no provision for any enlargement of the school, even though they said there's going to be enlargement of the school itself, but probably no car parking to take that on. But what in front of us is the school, the designs we've got to in front of us. The needs have been established there with the original development, so I'm quite happy to support this. I know there'll be problems down the line, there always is, but hopefully they can be ironed out at a later date. So I'm happy to and I do appreciate all the work that the officers have put into this one. That was a very long report to read out to start with as well. So.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers? Ashcroft, Councillor Ashcroft. Sorry.
I was just going to second Councillor Whittaker.
Right, Councillor Huckabee, do you want to come back?
Yeah, it might seem a bit pedantic of me and nitpicking. Tree planting. Is it as part of the planning application? Can I comment on that? Right. Yeah. The latest proposals, the latest assessments done on the loss of a mature tree indicate that to give us back the benefits that tree obliged, oxygen and the taking away of CO2 and the ruination of a biodiverse community which exists around that tree, that it's at least 40-1. Now, the contribution here is that we'd replace at the rate of 35-1. So it's nearly there.
The council's tree officer is happy with the proposals that have been put forward. There is one oak tree to be lost. The remaining trees on site would remain and would be protected during construction, and 35 new trees would be planted, including 5 English oaks.
Right. Now, 35 trees to be planted now
their maturity will be anything up to 40 years away and their life expectancy might well be over 100. The climate will have drastically changed by then should we fail to achieve COP 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, all these provisions and what have you, to keep the climate within 1.5 degrees C. It's no good, even the French now are beginning to question planting of trees to replace, say, walnut trees. They're looking at something which is better able to resist the climate change that that particular location will suffer in the future. So can I have an assurance that the trees to be planted will be assessed for their ability to survive in the new climate, the new environment, 20, 30, 40 years hence? Because otherwise, if they're going to die off within 2 or 3 years, it's just a pointless exercise, a waste of money.
The tree officer has confirmed no objections to the species that have been proposed within the 25, within the 35 new trees, which are listed in the committee report, the species of trees.
Do we have any further speakers? Thank you. So in summing up the application basically in front of us, we've got an application for a primary and nursery school. There is a dire need for a nursery and a school in that area. The application ticks all the boxes. Officers have presented us with a well comprehensive report. It's net zero. We've got a proposer and a seconder, so if I can just confirm that you will propose the application, the revised recommendation, subject to the conditions. Councillor Whittaker.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've got Jackie Jones and Bev seconding it, so we'll move to a vote on that. So if we vote, move to a vote, all those in favour of the application. So the application has been granted subject to a unanimous vote. Thank you, committee members. Item 6 of the agenda. Can I request members to consider the appeals received and determined? Noted. Noted. Item 7, request members to consider the planning permission circulated with the agenda. Noted. We will now move into the private part of the meeting. That in
Is there any enforcement today? Is that? Oh, that's.
It did go out a day late, but you should have had it.
Oh, you're right, it came later, did it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I think it went out on Tuesday. Yeah.
Can I request that the press and public leave the room, that in accordance with section 108(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded for the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda.